إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my brothers, I want to remind myself anew, we entered Islam by saying and believing in our hearts, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. By believing in our hearts and saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who is worthy of worship and that Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and rasul and the final messenger and rasul. After him, there is no other messenger and no other rasul. So what is the meaning of this kalima? The meaning of this kalima is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. It also means that there is no one who fulfills our needs except Allah. It also means that everything that happens, happens only by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not by anything else. Kalima ke maane ye hai, ke Allah tabarak wa ta'ala se hona اور اللہ کے غیر سے نہیں ہونا, یہ دونوں باتوں کے ماننے کا نام مسلمان ہونا ہے. اللہ سے ہوتا ہے اور اللہ کے غیر سے نہیں ہوتا ہے. اگر یہ آدمی مانے کہ اللہ سے ہوتا اور اللہ کے غیر سے بھی ہوتا ہے تو مشرک ہے. تو اللہ سے ہوتا ہے اور اللہ ہی سے ہوتا ہے اور اللہ کے غیر سے نہیں ہوتا ہے. That anything, for anything to happen, it is only by the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only by His qudrat, only by His taqat, only by His ability, and only by His greatness, and only by His power, and only by His authority, and only by His decision. And not by anybody else. To believe these, both of these things simultaneously is the meaning of iman. So therefore we know and we understand from this as Muslims, that when we see something happening in the world, whatever that thing might be, anything, whether it's our business, whether it's our education, whether it's our exams, whether it is success, whether it is failure, whether it is the coming of a disease or whether it is the curing of that disease, whether it is an accident happening or not happening, every single thing that happens has two parts to it. One part is the material, physical, visible, observable part that we can see. So I have a headache and the observable physical material part of it is that in order to alleviate that suffering, in order to cure that headache, I take a pill, I take a medicine. This is the physical observable part of this. But there is also another part which is not physical, which is not observable, which is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this particular pill should cure this particular headache. And I am giving you a very simple example which is not difficult to understand. Go right down the road in from where we live here, right down the road, within less than a kilometer you have got two hospitals. Go to any of those hospitals, or three hospitals actually. Go to any of those hospitals. And you will find that in the same ward, in the cardiac ward for example, there are people with exactly the same ailment. And one of them is cured and the other one is not cured. Same ailment, same hospital, same treatment. Somebody is cured and somebody is not cured. And the doctors say, well, take him home because we don't know. We have done whatever we could do. So if there was cure in the treatment, then everybody should be cured. You take a car to a mechanic, and if it's a problem with the carburetor, and the mechanic says, change the carburetor, you can take 1 million cars to the mechanic, and he changes 1 million carburetors, and every car will work. Yes? There's no uncertainty about that. Your car has a puncture, you fix the puncture, the tire is fine. I mean, if you take a million tires, exactly the same result. It's not to say that one tire, the puncture gets fixed, and another tire, we don't know why it is not being fixed. No. But that is not the case with our lives. And that's why we know that as far as our lives are concerned, there are these two elements. There is the physical observable peace, and there is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a part of that same equation, which we cannot see. But it is there. Just like the air we breathe, we cannot see, but it is there. And that's why I say, factor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into the equation, because He is part of that equation anyway. Factor Allah into the equation because He is in that equation anyway. The reason I'm saying this is because over the last 3-4 days, in here and also in Chennai when I was there 2 days ago, people have been asking me some funny questions. In one case, one young man came to me and he said that I have worked for 1 year in an IT company, but if I put my CV on the net and say my experience is 1 year, nobody will give me a job. So, can I say I have 2 or 3 years experience? So, I said, you want me to answer that question? I mean, you don't have an answer to that question yourself? Huh? You have 1 year experience and you are asking me, is it okay to put 3 years instead of one? And then, another person came to me last Juma and he asked me a question. And he said that I am doing a course, some course is doing, and the duration of this course is 1 month. But they give me a certificate saying that I have spent 12 months in this course. So, is this certificate jais or not? So I said, a strange question. You are asking me to answer this question? You can't answer it yourself? A third person in Chennai, we were talking about, one of my clients, very large business, and we were talking about some things, and one of them said that we were talking about the issue of interest, bank borrowings. So I said, it is haram. What's the big deal about this? We know this is haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it haram. He declared war on the one who deals in it. So what's the issue? So he said, no, but I spoke to somebody, and this is the point I'm coming to. He said, I spoke to somebody and he said, it is okay, you can take interest. I said, how? He said, no, it's like, you have one drop of urine, if it falls on your clothes, even without washing those clothes, you can still pray because it does not, the quantum of that urine does not make your clothes impure. So, I said, that's a wrong example because you don't eat your clothes. Whereas your interest, your income is you are eating the income. So, I said, how about I put that drop of urine in a glass of water and give you? Will you drink it? He said, no. I said, that's the example to give you. Not a drop of urine on your clothes. If the drop of urine is in a bottle, in a glass of water, and I give you that, will you drink it? The point I'm making is very simple. Unfortunately, there seem to be people floating around, Allah knows who they are, but they are giving this wrong advice to people that to tell lies is okay. And they are giving these examples to say, but you know, in order to get a job, in order to, whatever, pass an exam or, to do business, it is okay to tell lies. Right? There is a famous hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, my ummah may commit any kind of sin. It is possible that people of my ummah will commit sins. And they may commit any kind of sin. He said, except two. He said, if he is an ummati of mine, there are two things that he can never do. And they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what are those two things? What do you think he said? Did he say that these two things, he will never drink alcohol or he will never commit zina or something? No. No. He said, if he is an ummati of mine, he can never do two things. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, what are these two things? He said, he can never tell a lie and he will never deceive anybody. Kabhi jhoot nahi bolega, kabhi dhoka nahi dega. Agar mera ummati hai. Ajib, our entire society is based on these two things. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Our entire society is based on these two things. We lie and we cheat. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if he is my ummati, he will not lie, he will not cheat. He may do other things. He may do other than that. That does not mean that to do something else is allowed. No, that is haram. It is haram, it is haram. But the point is that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam
place such huge importance on these two things that he says that he might do anything, but he will not lie and he will not cheat. And of course, see the hikmah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If a person does not lie, and if you make this into an absolutely inviolable rule, then it will prevent you from doing everything else which is wrong by itself. And there is a hadith on this also. A man came to me, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I do many things. I do many wrong things. And I am weak. I can't stop everything. So if you tell me, and I won't even list for you what all that." He said, "I do, you know, may Allah forgive me, I do a lot of haram things. But I can stop one of them. I can stop. I can't stop everything. I can stop one. You tell me to stop which one, I will stop that one. But other than that, I can't stop everything." So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Stop lying." He said, "Don't tell a lie." Bas. The man used to lie, he used to do, Allah knows best, you know, whatever he used to do. Many, many haram things. So the man thought this is easy, you know, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't tell me to stop drinking or something. He said, "Stop lying." He said, "Fine, I'll do that. This is my promise to you, Ya Rasulullah." So that afternoon or evening, he has to go to the pub for his friends, you know, along with his friends to have a drink as usual. And he thinks to himself, "Now tomorrow if I meet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, 'Did you drink?' What will I tell him? I can't go to the Prophet and say, I drank alcohol. Because I promised I will not lie." So he tells him, "Sorry, I can't come with you." "Why?" "No, I promised to the Prophet I will not lie." And so also with everything else he was doing. Anytime he had something which he was doing which was wrong, he would immediately think to himself, "Am I lying? If I say I did this, I can't say I did this. And then if he asks me, I can't say I didn't do it. So what do? I stop." That one thing, that one stopping of one thing which is lying, prevented that man from committing all the other sins that he used to do. I want to remind myself and you, factor Allah into the equation. Somewhere, may Allah forgive us, people who think they know the religion, they are misguiding people. They are misguiding people. I will not call them ulama, because if he is an alim, he cannot tell you these things. No alim of Islam will tell you that it is okay to lie. If the man told you it's okay to lie, he is a jahil of the first order, he is not an alim. So I will not even use the term ulama. But people are going to these people and asking them and they say, "No, it's okay." How can it be okay? It's your law. It is your law. Are you Allah? You decree what Allah has prohibited? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قولوا قولا سديدا. Allah سبحانه وتعالى said very clearly, "Oh, you believe, speak the truth." And you say, "No, it's okay. In this case, it's okay." Who are you to set a law? Who are you to change the law of Allah سبحانه وتعالى? Did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say any time that it's okay? The only time it is okay to speak a lie is to preserve the relationship between a husband and a wife. This is permitted, that you tell a lie. Huh? So if your wife asks you, "Am I beautiful?" and you say, "Yes, this is permitted, this lie is permitted." Huh? "You are the most beautiful woman I ever saw in my life." This kind of a lie is okay. Only for the wife. Think about this. You are telling a lie to get a job. Right? So what happened to the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that matter? Do you think that you can get a job by telling a lie? Do you think you can succeed in that job by telling a lie, by displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then how can you tell a lie? How can it be jais? How can that lie get you benefits? I remind myself and you, that is the reason why I asked these boys who asked me, I said, "Why are you asking me? I am not a mufti, I am not an alim, I am not Hafiz Quran. Why are you asking me?" They said, "Because you tell us the truth." I asked him, I said, "You asked some alim, no? You got into this problem because you went and asked somebody. So you follow him, no? What's your problem? He told you it's jais, do it. But his heart knows it is wrong. Why is he asking a second time? Because he knows when, even though that so-called alim gave him the ijazah, gave him the permission, His heart knows that man is lying. He knows, his heart knows that man is speaking, that he is not speaking correctly. He told him, gave him the wrong advice. That is the reason why he is coming and asking somebody else. If he was satisfied with that hukum or that ijazah, that permission, why is he asking anybody? Just go do it. But he asked, why? Because even his, I told him, follow your heart. Alhamdulillah, your heart is still alive. It hasn't died yet. Your conscience is still there. So if it is pricking you, follow that. Don't worry about all this nonsensical stuff which people will tell you. It is not okay to lie. It is not okay to cheat. It is not okay to deceive people. If we are Muslim, this is our hallmark. This is our trademark that we don't lie and we don't cheat. We do not deceive people. We speak the truth. And we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you have 1 year experience, you say, I have 1 year experience, and you stand before Allah and you make dua. See the tragedy of these people, the so-called advisors. Instead of connecting that boy to Allah, he is legislating on behalf of Allah and he is permitting something which is haram. Why doesn't he tell him, speak the truth and stand before Allah and ask him, and Allah will give you inshallah. Connect him to Allah. Connect him to Allah. Let him see the madad of Allah coming in his life. Let him see the help of Allah coming in his life. Wallahi, Allah will help. You speak the truth and you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you cry and you say, Ya Allah, you are my razak. You do not need me to help you by telling lies. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Lana tha isi dalina ragab. Make dua, stand, make 2 rakat of tahajjud and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Oh Allah, you are my razak. You do not need me to help you by lying and cheating and deceiving. I will speak the truth and you provide me because you can provide me. Give me because you can give me. Connect him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead of that, you legislate on behalf of Allah. And you try and you convert haram into halal. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. How tragic is that? How tragic is that? Please understand very clearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to speak the truth. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us to speak the truth. His name was, his laqab was As-Sadiqul Amin. The truthful and the trustworthy. What was the laqab of Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Before he got Nabuwat. Even from those days, As-Sadiqul Amin. The one who is truthful and the one who is trustworthy. The one who does not lie and the one who does not cheat. And that is the honor that he gave to this ummah. He said, every ummati of mine is a sadiqul amin. He does not lie and he does not cheat. And then see the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hukum coming in your life. Because believe me, the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is part of our life. Whether we like it, we don't like it. Whether we accept it, we don't accept it. And the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that goodness and barakah is connected with truth only. It is not connected with lying. So if you have spoken a lie, then don't expect the barakah of Allah to happen. It will not happen. It cannot happen. It will not happen. We cannot get goodness by angering Allah. We cannot get goodness by lying and cheating. A Muslim does not lie and a Muslim does not cheat. So decide, if you are a Muslim, then you don't lie and you don't cheat. And if you are lying and cheating, then Allah knows what you are. I remind myself and you, let us make these two things completely inviolable, uncompromisable, totally rigid in our lives. I will not lie, I will not cheat. Period. Khalas. And if I'm in a business where these are not possible, then that business is not for me. It is not a business a Muslim should be doing. As simple as that. I don't deny that there are some businesses where it is true that unless you tell a lie, unless you cheat, you cannot survive. Get out of that business. That business is not for you. Who told you that you have to be in that business? As I told you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not muhtaj. Try to understand this. Try to get this, get your mind around this. Allah is not dependent. Allahu Samad. Allah is not dependent. Allah is not muhtaj. Allah does not need anything. He is the one who gives. So therefore, you don't have to help Allah, na'udhu billah, by lying and cheating. You stick to the truth. You do, if you say you will deliver something, you deliver it. And remember, lying and cheating is not about some great, global, colossal deals we are talking about. If you tell somebody that you will meet them at 5 o'clock, and you don't meet them at 5 o'clock, and you don't call beforehand, and you say why you can't come, you have lied. You have cheated that person. If you told somebody you will call them back, and you do not call them back, you have lied and you have cheated. Simple as that. It doesn't have to be a great big thing. If you told someone you will deliver something, and you did not deliver it, and you have not previously called and said, look, I am, one can understand, there is a reason. I mean, you left home and you got stuck in a traffic jam, or your car broke down, call and tell that person. Or minimum, at least you didn't have a phone at that time, go and meet that person and tell him, look, this is the reason. People simply disappear. They don't come. They will say they will call and they don't call back. And la hawla quwwata illa billah. Today it is the hallmark of this ummah that if it is a Muslim, he will lie. You can be sure. If he is a Muslim, he will be late. If he is a Muslim, then he will give you bad quality. The opposite has become the norm. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Please let us, we are not talking about changing the whole world. Let the world look after itself. Let us change ourselves. If I myself personally can stick to this rule, inshallah, this is good for me, my dunya wal akhirah, and it is good for the rest of the world, because inshallah, each person changes, the whole world will change. Because the biggest benefit of not lying and not cheating is the credibility that you build for yourself in society. You will earn the trust of people. You will earn the respect of people. People will respect you because you speak the truth. They may not like what you say, but they know this is the truth. And they know that if we come to this person, we'll get the truth. We may not like what we say, we may not like what he says, but we get the truth. Alhamdulillah. Don't worry about liking and dislike. It doesn't matter. Somebody likes, dislikes, makes no difference. Speak the truth. Do not lie and cheat, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's approval comes before the approval of anybody else. I remind myself and you, stick to the truth, because this is our deen. Stick to the truth, because in this only and only in this is success. Stick to the truth, factor Allah into the equation, because Allah is already in the equation. If you try to solve this equation by removing Allah, Allah does not get removed. That equation will fail and you will fail. Let us stick very closely to this thing that we will not lie, we will not cheat, we will not displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you find and you see then how the doors of the barakah and rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open in your life and my life. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from these false advisors. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our hearts alive so that our hearts will guide us, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the heart of the mu'min is the best mufti. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmal rahim.